welcome back, OMG. This is day three of the Howe Conference, direct to you from Austin. It's the Reflex Blue Show. Indeed, indeed it is. Donovan, are you there?
I am here, and this is a fantastic time. We're sitting around. We've got everybody here, it seems like, around here.
Who's with you?
Ever since maybe Mark English's session has started, the first thing he does is he tells everyone, we're going to run this thing late, and then the doors lock. I swear he's running a timeshare in there, but he's holding everyone captive.
Nice.
However, we've yanked a few people out of here. Hold on. Hey, stop by. Toots Caboose, Jeff Fisher, he wants to say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. I have a book signing that I'm late to. Bye.
Okay, see you,
right.
Jeff. That was awesome.
That was a quick cameo. And what we have here is we're going to introduce Matt from Nina Paper. Now, he's been...
Matt Porter.
Hold on.
But I'm a writer from Atlanta with my own little business, and I'm working with Nina to blog the site, to blog the conference. So we have been working hard at ninapaperblog.blogspot.com. Go and look. Trying to be two places at once is hard, but it's been a lot of fun.
And you've been tweeting like mad. What's your Twitter account for those listeners?
At Nina Paper. Yes, at Nina Paper. That's it. And actually what we're doing is I'm blogging, and a woman, a colleague named Jamie Saunders back in Atlanta, has been reading my blog and doing virtual tweet feeds and Facebook feeds because I just can't do it all at the same time. So actually the tweets are coming out of Atlanta by reading the blog that I've been writing.
Now, do you guys, since you're a paper company, do you guys have, like, certain people wanting you to, like, tweet on paper and, like, hand-deliver it to everybody to get more paper out there? Or how is this affecting your business model using the social media and the online rather than print?
I mean, the truth is that Nina, again, they're my client, and I'm not working for them directly, but they see themselves as a communication solution provider, and there will always be a great market for premium fine paper, and Nina will be one of the biggest players in it. But you have to embrace the new media, and particularly social media like Twitter and Facebook and the blogosphere, which we just got on. And it still helps build Nina's credibility. If they didn't play in that space with young people like yourself and like Seth over here, if they didn't play in that space, they wouldn't be able to reach and communicate with these people. So it doesn't stop people from buying paper, but it helps remind them of the Nina brand. At least that's our hope. And to have some fun with the blog. I mean, they didn't tell me I could write and say about anything. Well, within reason, I had to have some decorum, but just have fun with it. And I think it's been really successful. I hear their Twitter page is going nuts, and it's all off feeds that I'm feeding back to Atlanta. So.
No, I think that's great that you guys are, you know, even though you are a traditional print company, you guys are embracing kind of the future, or what some see, I guess you're taking as just part of the future, and you guys continuing to provide the other part, and I assume your paper media.
You either run with it or it'll roll right over you, right? And who do you work for? Do you work for Howe or?
No, we work for 36 Point. We are an online only medium, but we finally have some stickers, so we did buy a small amount of paper. We work in our day jobs in some print as well, so we understand the quality.
Words about Nina are kind, and it's exactly what they want to hear from young people at the Howe Conference, is that, you know, they are the company that rolls with the future, embraces the future, and I think also has a lot of fun. I mean, these conferences are all about making connections and listening and learning and being inspired. But it's like Mark English was just saying back in his sermon there, how many people here, he asked people in the audience, raise your hand if you met someone new, and about 85% of the people raise their hand. And then
how could you not raise your hand? And I mean, how could you be at this thing for three days and not meet anybody?
Well, exactly. But then he said, how many people enjoyed it? And almost the hand stayed out. Well, that was a nice point. So, and I want to hear about this guy, Seth, who my Twitter partner back in Atlanta has been reading my blogs, and she's been talking to him, tweeting back and forth. So she told me to meet him. I just met him in the hall. So
Seth Lilly, what's your Twitter account name?
At Seth Lilly.
And what have you been doing here with your Twitter account, and where are you from? What are you doing here?
I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and I'm a creative. I'm here. This is my second Howe conference. And with my Twitter account, basically I've been trying to help people live vicariously through me. You can't be in four or five or six places at once when you're here at a conference. So, you know, if you're not in my session, read my tweets. You can keep up with what I'm doing, basically. And for people that couldn't maybe come to the Howe conference this year, they still wanted to hear these speakers or still wanted to get this information, I'm just trying to kind of give that out to them. And plus, it helps me keep notes. You know, when I write something, I remember it so much better than if I just hear it.
So you're kind of using Twitter rather than using like a pen and tablet and to actually document what you're learning?
Exactly. Exactly. And it helps others because they learn as well.
What is it you do for your regular job, like when you actually have to go back to Atlanta? Just curious.
I do a lot of things. I'm a developer, an application developer, so I write software. I'm a creative, so I do some graphic design. I do some writing, things like that. So, yeah, pretty much all of those things. Jack of all trades and trying to be a master of all of them.
No, I mean, that's quite a bit. So what's the biggest thing you've gotten out of this conference? And then what's the biggest thing you've ever gotten out of any conference that you've gone to?
Gosh, so the biggest thing that I think I've gotten out of this conference, I was actually in a panel this morning with Steve, Ridiculous Creative, and with Dan Shutsmith, Jeff Fisher, Andy Epstein, Jenny Herbert. We were talking about ways to really kind of focus and live in the environment that we're in now as far as joblessness, you know, how to prepare for better being ready for what if you lose your job, and always marketing yourself, not necessarily when you have to market yourself, but maybe before. So I've picked that up, and it's been a solid piece of information from this conference. 3 years ago, 2006, the HOW conference in Vegas, that was my first HOW conference, and that was kind of like the eye-opener for me. That was when I realized that there was an entire world of people who were far more creative than myself, and it gave me a chance to see, you know, what my aspirations could be. I'd like to do that, or wow, I can't believe that somebody is doing this with their life or with their creative studio. I want to do that same thing, and it changed my entire view of design. Three Dogs Creative and Sally Hogshead, I got to hear her speak at she was the closing keynote, and those two really stood out in my mind because they kind of turned everything that I thought upside down. And you know, I look for that when I come to conferences like this. And you know what Steve and Jenny and the rest of the group had to say this morning was fantastic. It really got me to think about to make sure that I'm preparing all the time to be ready for, you know, what if something bad happens. I want to be ready for that next big thing coming up in my career as a creative.
Well, that's refreshing. It's also refreshing to finally hear you speak in more than 140 characters at a time. Is this like the first time in 3 days that you've been given that opportunity to get to do that?
Yeah, my wife, she gets really irritated because she'll ask me a question and, you know, I maybe get a sentence and a half out and then I stop, you know, and then she has to wait for a minute for it to refresh and then she gets the rest of it.
Do you have to think before you even say the sentence to figure out how to abbreviate it properly to still fit in that little thing?
I do. I use a lot of numbers and things like that. I hold up my fingers and things like that to just kind of cut the characters down.
Man, so basically being on Twitter has basically taught you to like talk like Prince is what you're telling me.
You know, that's a good way to look at it now. I'll have to go back and look through all my tweets now. I bet I've got some good Prince album and song titles in there.
Fantastic. Are you going now? Now, I do want to say, though, that panel this morning, you were on that?
No, I was. In
the Okay. Because I was like, I don't remember seeing you on it. Okay. Yeah. And it was a pretty good panel. And if Steve wasn't there, I probably wouldn't have gone, because getting this up at 8 in the morning, man, they scheduled it late and they threw it in the morning. I mean, it's just brutal. But sometimes you have to suck it up, wake up a little bit early, go to something earlier than you want to if you want to go to the events you actually wanted to.
Yeah, I think so. I was, getting up early wasn't too tough for me. I'm an East Coaster, so you know it was already an hour later for me. I was awake already, but I'm somewhat of a morning person and somewhat of an evening person. It's nothing for me to put in an 18 or 20 hour day, so I'm used to getting up for that, but it was absolutely worth it. The only thing that I would like to see with that same situation, I think the panel format worked very well. I'd like to see it be extended in time, more time allocated for it maybe next year if they do something very similar, because it was a good chance for people to get to talk and have that discussion where they felt like that they weren't necessarily being talked to, but rather that they were in a situation where they were just having a conversation.
I did find that the events that were scheduled like in advance that they kind of had planned out months ago were very well slotted and everything. And yeah, the drawback I found was the things that they kind of added in because they're like, hey, that'd be a great thing. And I think it's great they added it. But like that panel and then the Mono Mono last night, they were kind of slotted in. Since they were slotted in late, it did kind of hurt. And you could feel that the attendance was a little bit lower because they weren't planned out as well. But I don't know how else you do it because the schedule is so packed. I mean, how many hours do you think you've been in this conference over the last 3 days?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Maybe 14, 15, 16 hours, something like that. Not a lot of time, given you know what we're doing here. The early morning and the late night stuff is rough, I find, that I've noticed with people, because everybody wants to go party. Everybody wants to have a good time. And not necessarily, you know, I'm not talking drink and get stupid, but everybody wants to go explore the city that they're in. A lot of, this is my first time in Austin, you know. Everybody wants to explore. They're out late, or there may be a time zone deficit. Maybe a lot of people on, you know, in the Pacific. Then, you know, an 8 a.m. session is really like a 6 a.m. session to them, and that's very tough for them. Or, you know, people that are on the East Coast have a hard time going to an 8 o'clock session because it's really 9 o'clock for them or whatever. So the late night, early night sessions, as far as that goes, you know, that's the only drawback or deficit that I can see to it. But you fit things in where you can, because you try to see things like the mano a mano session and the, you know, the economic panel session this morning. If those things work, then we know next year when there's a HAL conference, hey, this really worked. We got some good feedback from this. Let's do it again. Let's slot it appropriately. You know, so it's just sort of a test bed almost.
No, I like that. Okay, one last thing. It's been great having you on the show today, Seth. Any advice for any of the young listeners that we have out there and things that they should look forward in their career?
Young creatives, I would say, you know, absolutely get involved in social networking. I mean, obviously, I'm involved in Twitter, but get involved in social networking with Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn profile, because you'll find that not only will your skills help sell you, but how well you can interact with people will absolutely make the difference when you're talking about getting a job with somebody. Because if it's shown that you can get along with people and that you can develop a real rapport in talking to people and have conversations with them, intelligent level conversations, not just I had bananas for breakfast or something like that, that's going to go a long, long way. You can't beat that. You can't beat having friends.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks again for being on the show. And we look forward to talking to you in the future. Okay, and we're back, and we actually have here the person who scheduled Steve Gordon to be an 8 in the morning event. And also to schedule Debbie Millman to actually have to introduce somebody at 7:30 in the morning, Bryn Muth, the person running this conference.
I'm responsible for all of those early mornings?
I don't know. I just figured your name's at the head of the conference. You're technically responsible, aren't you?
Technically, not really. The buck doesn't stop entirely here. There's a cast of thousands that pull this off. But okay, I'll take a heat, sure.
What do you think that Austin has done for the conference? How does the city affect how people perceive how the event's going?
Well, I think we'll remember it for the heat, for one thing. It's like 105 degrees out right now. But I've heard that Austin has more creative professionals per capita in this town than New York City does. So we feel like it's a pretty good creative vibe. There's a lot of great stuff going on. And it's just, it's the perfect town for this event. It just feels like it's the place for us to be. The facility's beautiful. The sun's beautiful. The light's beautiful. The food's great. Beer's cold. It's kind of hard to argue.
Any scoop on where next year's is going to be held?
No.
We hear that tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow.
Man, you guys are tight-lipped. We all we got out of Steve yesterday was that it's continental U.S.
It's continental U.S. I can verify that.
Okay, Nate, we have that verified.
Awesome.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you much, Bryn. You've been doing a great job.
Thanks.
And we hope to talk to you in the future. Oh, man. And then we've got Steve here. Steve and Justin.
What up?
Hey, good. What's up?
What's going down the streets?
I don't know, man. How have you guys been handling the last few days?
Well, it's been pretty good, but Gordon has been sort of calling you and I out.
Because y'all went out, man. Y'all representing the Midi, the Midwest, the Chi-Town area, and the one, the O-N-E. And y'all went out early in the rounds at Mano a Mano last night.
Oh yeah, so me and Justin on the Mano a Mano, by the way, that was a lot of fun and Armin pitted me up against my seed, was up against a former coworker of his, and I seemed to feel it a little bit rigged. Justin, on the other hand, I mean, he was out two questions done. I at least made it to the third question.
No, you know what? I was visualizing, trying to focus success, and I just failed miserably. It was really fun. But you know what? Dan, let's just talk about something. You were in the show, right?
Yeah.
And I was in the show.
Right.
Because we wanted to, you know, try to prove ourselves and, you know, just our massive brain power.
I just wanted a free copy of that sweet book that Armin and Byron needed.
That's true. But all I heard was Gordon in the back row, like, throwing stones.
Man, I figure, okay, we got one representative from the Chi-Town area. We had another representative from the Omaha area. I was just playing the peanut gallery. And you know,
being together, you're just talking smack. Like,
dude,
what?
We were like the judge committee. Your wife was back there. We were judging everything, holding it down.
No, Donovan, listen. When I sat back down, I was like, oh, I knew the answer to that. You didn't know anything.
Dude, I was just getting them all right when I wasn't on the spot.
Now, for the record, Debbie Millman came in second place.
With the evil genius glasses. The evil genius glasses. I love her. I love her for those glasses.
Oh, and let's talk about another great thing that, you know, you heard it here first. Debbie Millman jamming to Michael Jackson before the event started, doing a little dance. I wish we would have had video.
She had it on the microphone because it couldn't come across the PA. She was holding us down with the 25th anniversary of Thriller.
Oh, and since we're talking about that, it would have been nice if Bryn Muth would have showed up to the thing on time, but somehow someone left her at the party.
She is salty about that. You better quit bringing that up.
Something about Justin, like, showing up and then realizing, oh, man, did I leave Bryn? Did I leave Bryn? Oops.
Is that a bad thing to leave the editor of the magazine at a party that you're supposed to bring her back?
Dude, she's the only one with a picture in any of the correspondence. You got to bring her.
That's why she gets the blame for everything, even though she tries to blame it on this cast of thousands.
The one with the headshot. The That's one right. with the headshot.
She made it eventually somehow.
She did show up.
So. And the final winner, also for the record, her name was it Lori?
I think it was Lori, yeah.
Or Laura.
And she was a faculty member that taught the history of graphic design. The whole thing was rigged.
Her quote was amazing because her excuse was she was only an assistant professor. So she was half a professor, so it didn't count.
Yeah, I'm not a whole professor yet.
A whole professor.
And her coworker that was also a professor there.
Steve, if you're listening, you held it down.
He came in the top four as well as with Ron Hubbard there from Jacksonville.
Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, both the Vasaki O'Grady's, they went down early like we did.
Ken was getting in jabs from the peanut gallery.
But, I mean, let's think about this. I think you and I enjoyed the contest the most because we got to just watch it.
Yeah, actually, once it was done and all we got to do was trash talk, it was a lot of fun.
Right.
See, now you understand why I didn't enter. I had the fun from the beginning.
No, I would love to see this event be something they do, like this game show hosted by Armin Witt, do something they carry on before.
Shout out to Armin, too, because he's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the secret that he had, like, the James Bond villain accent.
And Byron, he kept him on task.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And then Armin as the MC was just very funny.
The other thing is I noticed, I mean, at first he was kind of like not quite sure, but then they started getting into it. After about the first two contestants, they were ready to roll, starting to, you know, natural Alec Trebek's, those two were.
And I like the idea of, I don't know if it was planned, but having the open space, that's how new Steve got in. There was an open space on the bracket.
Yeah, we'll call that as something that was planned.
Okay, we'll go with that. Yeah, they planned it so that an audience member could face off with the pros.
Yeah. And the audience member came in third or fourth.
New Steve, holding it down.
Fantastic. Okay, Steve, we'll catch up with you later.
So I promise Bryn a libation. Peace out, Nate. What up? What up? Wish you were here, bro.
Peace out, Steve.
Holding it down into one.
Peace.
All right, and Justin, what do we have forward to look to tonight and tomorrow, since this is technically our recap show, even though we have a little bit of time left of the conference?
Okay, well, tonight's going to be great. Tonight is the traditional closing party, pretty much always hosted by Nina. And
when we just talked to Matt from Nina.
Yeah. And so it's a good time. It's usually a theme. I don't know what the theme is this year. Do you know?
Beer.
Yeah.
So, we are in Texas.
True. I'm gonna go with beer is the theme. And so it's a good time. It's a closing party. You get to hang out. They usually have lots of great food and band and beer. And then tomorrow we have a couple of closing sessions and the closing keynote. It's a good time. It's a great way to wrap it up.
I'm looking forward to it. It looks like, is Mark English's session finally getting out? He's been holding these people captive for the last 45 minutes late. I mean, this guy, he's like power mad. He's wearing an all white suit with a white hat.
I was surprised though, his pants were still on.
I do say though, if nothing, if you ever see Mark English, the guy is entertaining and he is fun to listen to.
Well, what I love about Mark is that he just does his own thing.
It's a lot of theatrics.
It's hard to explain it because this particular talk had three acts. It opened up each act with some sort of musical number. But he follows up with just like great inspiring work and examples. And I think his key message today was for us as creatives that we need to go out and be able to experience other cultures and go to conferences like this and meet a lot of people and just be influenced by so many things around us. And I think we forget about that too much as we're, sitting behind our desks and that sort of thing.
Well, that's why I think the after hour things, people always say like, oh, you're just going to the conference, do that. But that's where a lot of the actual like networking and you make the actual connections, and that's what you may take home with you.
Yeah, and I, time and time again, I think that's the best part of it. I mean, I met you guys through, you know, a conference.
And we've been regretting it ever since.
But, you know, it's I think that's the number one thing is the connections and realizing as a community that we deal with some of the same stuff, no matter where you're from or, you know, how big or small your clients are. And it's just great to have those kind of conversations.
I think that's very well said. Welcome, Armin Vitt. It looks like you finally got out of Mark English's session. His Mad with Power timeshare, as we're calling it, that he's doing in there.
Yeah, that was really, really long. I had to step out midway for Starbucks because I just couldn't. He did three acts, and when it was an hour and a quarter in, and he was just making it to act two, and I said, there's no way I can sit through here without coffee, so I had to excuse myself and get some chai.
How was his overall presentation? What did you take from it?
You know, I think it's like all over the place. I mean, he talks about traveling. He talks about flowers and rocks floating on water. So there was some mention about boobs, as Justin Ahrens just pointed out over here to my side. But I think overall, it's just a matter of like being open to your own experiences influencing your work. And I think a lot of times we just assume that if we set some type and pick a nice photo, that's it. But he actually brings in his experience into his work, which is really nice.
How is your like personal experiences affected like what you do for a living?
I don't think it does. I mean, the only thing that I've ever been able to pinpoint and that Rick Valicenti found hilarious was that he went to a tour while I was still working at Pentagram and said, "What have you been? You know, have you changed the way you design?" And I just said, "Yeah, I'm making bigger type, like you know, 100 point type, 160 point type." I don't know if it was the influence of Paula Scher or the big land skyscrapers. Who knows? So.
Or it was just so it'd be big enough that everyone in the office would see it. That's why I print things larger when I was younger, you know.
It's either that or to compensate for something.
Okay, yeah, probably why. Oh, by the way, props on your game show. We thought that, you know, as it got going, you guys are becoming naturals at it. Is this something you're going to try to pitch to do every year? Because I think they could build on it.
Yeah, I think Bryn was in the audience. So I think she really liked it, and she already mentioned that she would love to do it next year, make it bigger, and hopefully we'll do it also at the AIGA conference in Memphis. And you know, if you're the leader of an AIGA local chapter and you want us to do a dog and pony show for the quiz, we would love to come to your town. And
you're actually coming to our town, I hear, to judge the show in September. So you'll be in Omaha.
I will be, and I'm very excited.
Well, we look forward to seeing you there. And what was your favorite part of the that you didn't have a part of the How conference this year?
Well, you know, I meant to go to the resource center to get my load of paper swatches because since I've been on my own, you know, I'm used to studios having the paper swatches, and all I have is Mohawk Superfine. So everything I spec is on Mohawk Superfine, and I tried to go today, but I got in there and all the booths were packed, so I'm screwed. I'm going to be speccing Mohawk Superfine for the rest of the year.
I actually think you're going to be better off because otherwise it'll get the paper choice, and right now you just say Mohawk Superfine, you go to lunch, you're done. You get to those paper books in, whole day wasted just trying to spec it, and you'll end up with Mohawk Superfine anyway, so.
That's true.
All right, well, great to have you on again. Debbie Millman, you're here. What was your biggest favorite event of the HOW conference, and how did you get so lucky to get to introduce a 7:30 a.m. event this morning?
Well, my favorite moment just occurred in Mark English's presentation. He went a little bit over in the allotted amount of time, and Armin was very thirsty. He got up and started walking out of the room, but Mark doesn't like it when people leave the room when he's presenting. So
yeah, I waited till someone else opened the door to come in and snuck out real quick.
Yeah, so Armin actually, rather than just walking directly out of the room, walked right up to the stage and asked Mark if he wanted anything because he was going to Starbucks.
What did Mark say to this thing?
He's like, no thanks, dude.
Yeah, because Mark brought his own Coke, right?
Two cans.
Of Coke that he claims he bought in Mexico or from Mexico?
No, actually, I thought he said that he bought it here. And the reason that he likes it so much is because here it's made with all-natural cane sugar.
Just to clarify, in my hometown, Coke, he had local U.S. regular Coke, but as a sidebar, you know, one of 1,000 sidebars that Mark English said, he said that if you can, you should buy Mexican Coke, which is made with real sugar.
Okay, good. Good to have this clarified. I mean, that probably happened 4 hours ago, since this presentation's been going on since, I think, before lunch. And we're sitting here at like 10 till 6. He's actually still holding people captive on his timeshare pitch.
But he did have a couple of really great quotes. I've been Twittering all conference, really.
Now, is this the first conference that you've been to with this much Twitter activity? Because you go to a lot more conferences than we do.
This is the first conference that I've been to with this much Twitter activity. But when I was at the AIGA Leadership Retreat in Portland, Oregon, 2 weeks ago, there was this much Twitter activity. So I think it's here for quite a while, if not today.
How does that affect your experience with the conference?
It makes me listen harder because I'm actually writing notes and putting them out there real fast.
Have you ever like seen something on the Twitter and you just ditch on whatever you're in to go to that because it obviously sounds better?
I don't have time to look at what other people are writing until afterward. And it's funny because then you start to see other people's tweets during the same presentation that you've been in and how you see things similarly or differently. Really fascinating.
Wow. Yeah. I assume it's fascinating also for the speaker too. Like, you know, the Mark English, when he gets out, he'll be like, help get me out of here. I'm being held captive. And things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, actually, that's really interesting. But he said a couple of really cool things, Mark, that is. He said, if you're cocky and you believe your own shit, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's fantastic because you got to quit. You got a Twitter archive.
Here. Right, exactly. He said sometimes you have to keep ideas for decades before they have any use. He said if people aren't going to want to steal your shit, then it isn't worth hitting print, which I really liked. And then, actually, there was one really funny exchange besides the exchange with Armin, with an audience member, and Mark was testing the audience and put up a piece of art that he had designed and asked what typeface it was, and some guy in the audience yelled out, boring.
I was there for that. That was fantastic.
And Mark claims that it was straight gothic ball number two, but there's no way in hell that was straight gothic ball number two. It was some sort of a myriad bastard child that was propped up in his computer.
Wow, and this, I mean, what it is you research for your graphic design referenced has obviously made you, because I was like, I don't know, I'll just take his word for it. But that's I will say that I think when it comes down to a few years, the Mark English set, the 3 hour speech, will be the highest remembered.
The long form version.
Both good and bad. I think a lot of it's good, and I think a lot of it comes down to he said you set the theatrics. I mean, he designed everything. He designed his little costume that he wore. He designed the suitcase guitar case he brought in, what guitar and banjo he carried with him.
The songs he was playing on the guitar and banjo.
His harmonica. And then he also even made sure, he said, I could fill the big room, and they probably would have had him in it, but he made sure to be in a smaller room so that everyone had to, like, sit on the floor. It's completely packed in there.
Felix Sockwell also had a really good presentation today, and he said something that I loved. He talked about a client that was giving him a really hard time for some work that he had done. Apparently they'd rejected the work, but also still wanted the copyright. And Felix didn't think that was appropriate and threatened to sue them if they used any of the materials. And finally the client or ex-client wrote him a letter and said, here, have your stuff and good luck with whatever it is you do.
Yeah, what does he do?
No, I was actually thinking about that more for designers. You know, people don't really know what designers do. So good luck with whatever it is you do.
All right, well, thank you very much for being here. It looks like everyone else is headed off to the Nina paper party. So we're going to catch up with them. Debbie, Armin, it was a pleasure having you guys on once again. Any final words for our listeners and any advice for the young students out there?
I'm going to quote Cameron Mole in his presentation today. He said, sometimes the best question that you could be asked is, who cares?
I don't have anything as profound as Debbie's quoting Cameron Mole, but I'll say if you're a young designer or a student, find a way to come to these things. They're just really amazing. And whether you've been coming here 10 years or it's your first one, they're always a great experience. So find a way.
Yeah, because these are all different from each other. I mean, which was your favorite conference you guys have ever been to? And Bryn's not here anymore, so you can be honest.
Well, I'll tell you that one of my favorite, I don't know if I could tell you my favorite because I've really liked so many different ones for different reasons, but here it is 6 years later since Armin and I first did our conference-ing together. And so I really love the AIGA Vancouver conference, the national conference, what was that, 2003? And we were a bit renegades at the time, making some trouble, trying to kick up some dirt, getting in trouble. And that was when I met Marion Banshees as well. So it'll always have a really, really special place in my heart.
Yeah, on a personal level, I think that was just a great conference. It was the first time that, you know, when like the AIJ realized that Speak Up existed and there were people behind it, and we were just like, you know, designers like them, but at the same time we had, you know, either the balls or we're just like dumb enough to do dumb things and kind of like try to stand up to AIGA and do things that we weren't supposed to do, like leaving little booklets in the bathroom or in seats and things like that.
Did they frown upon that?
Yes, they were. Yeah.
Man.
We weren't sanctioned at the time.
Okay, well, hopefully as Debbie is president, that there maybe you'll change the policy and leaving things in bathrooms will be fine from future conferences.
I'll have to take that into consideration.
Oh,
and then good one. But then I just want to give a shout out to TypeCon, which is a really great conference. It's really cheap. It's like $200 or $300.
Where's that located at?
This year it's going to be in Atlanta. It's next month. It's run by the Society of Typographic Aficionados, and it's a really, really great conference. You'll know more about typography than you'd ever want to know, and you're surrounded by type geeks, you know, 24/7, and they just love it.
And you'll all be correcting Mark English on his bastardized font selections. Yeah, I believe the next time the font came up, he even, after that guy said it was boring, he was like, we don't have time to worry about the fonts anymore. And there was no more references. I think he had a whole shtick and he just cut it out completely. Okay, well, we're out. Great talking to you guys. And we'll be back in 2 weeks, Nate.
All right, Donovan, that sounds great. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is our last How coverage show. So after this, and we'll be going back to regular schedule. Though I gotta be honest with you, Donovan, maybe we'll do another one this week, maybe not. We don't really know. I mean, not this week, but next week. We'll just see what happens. But once again, thanks everybody who's been listening. And you know, if we can't get out to a conference this year, start making plans for next year. It's always a good time. It's always rewarding. And you know, that's what we try to put out there, you know, with the crowd this week. So from all of y'all out there in the Austins and all of me back here in the Omahas, good day, sir.
No, this, well, Mark might come out. Do you want to wait?
Mark ain't going to come out if he's got a crowd.
Oh, yeah, he does have a crowd. He won't be there for
long. If Mark got a crowd, he ain't never coming by.